This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar. Welcome to today's episode of the Mass Daily Community Huddle. We will get started in 2 minutes. How many minutes? 2 minutes. And in the meantime, you can say salam and where are you from as we prepare to get started. If you're tuning in later, you can fast forward after because you don't want to listen to this. We'll get started in 2 minutes. Say salam and where are you from? And you'll say salam, I'll say salam, and all of us will say salam together. You get ajr, I get ajr, we both get ajr. Trisha, alaikum assalam. Rimla, alaikum assalam. Faisal, alaikum assalam. In Pennsylvania. Tisha in Malaysia, alaikum assalam, Tisha. I'm doing good. Rahila in Regina. Lubna, alaikum assalam. Nabila, alaikum assalam. Aisha, alaikum assalam. Hina in India, alaikum assalam. One more minute. Humayun, alaikum assalam. Carol in Montreal, alaikum assalam. Cynthia in Texas, alaikum assalam. Salima, alaikum assalam. Jasim, tuning in from Dubai, alaikum assalam. Yeah. Ramla in Canada, alaikum assalam. We will get started shortly. Remember COVID-19? Subhanallah. All right, we'll get started. Take one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa wala amma ba'd. What is strategy? So I looked up this word strategy and I was wondering, what is strategy in Arabic? What is strategy? What's the Arabic word for strategy? And so I asked Google, and guess what the Arabic word for strategy is? And I would love to hear what you guys think it is. What's your guess? Don't Google it, I'll tell you. But what's your guess? What is the Arabic word for strategy? What is the Arabic word for strategy? I'll wait till like one person comments and then I'll move on. There's like a 15 second delay, 20 second delay. What is the Arabic word for strategy without Googling it? What is the Arabic word for strategy? 4, 3, 2, 1. What's the Arabic word for strategy? Okay, Crimean girl Aisha says, I have no idea. Tell me. Okay, great. The Arabic word, I just want somebody to guess. We're wasting too much time waiting for the leg. Okay, I'll continue on. And as you guys are commenting, then I'll come back to this, inshallah ta'ala. Salima says she doesn't know Arabic. The Arabic word for strategy is istratijiya. The Arabic word for strategy is al-istratijiya. That is the Arabic word for strategy. So I'm like, come on, Google. Like, seriously, there's no Arabic word for strategy except to translate the word al-istratijiya. But then I thought to myself, what if this is something like kimia? Like, the Muslims invented kimia, and that was the Arabic word, and then it became an English word. chemistry or physia and became physics. I'm like, what if istiratijiya was actually an Arabic word? Obviously not. And it became English. It actually comes from, I think it's Greek. And it refers to, I think, military strategy back in the day. Istiratijiya, yes. Farhad says al-istiratijiya. Not istiratijiya, al-istiratijiya. Okay. So as a Muslim, I want you to think of this. Like, so somebody's making dua that they want to run a marathon. They want to run a marathon. Is it enough that they make the dua and then they go run the marathon? So it's like, here's a 46 kilometer marathon or something like that, or however long, 26 miles. And then they're like, no, I'm good. I made dua, so I'm going to go and run this marathon. What's going to happen in this marathon? Maybe they'll get a heart attack. Maybe, you know, they're not going to arrive, or their body's just going to break down because their body's not ready for it. They apply no strategy in this. And the question that I ask, and we really want to pay attention to this, is that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, that we just make dua and we take no action and there's no strategy and we just go ahead and go forward and just do it? And the answer is obviously not. That strategy is part and parcel of the deen. So what's really beautiful about the seerah, and if you look at the stories of the prophets, Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, and when people call to those prophets, they'll tell them, you know, Jesus was given a miracle. Now, somebody could legitimately say these days that, well, I wasn't there. I didn't see the miracle, so I don't have to believe in Jesus. Or somebody will say, you know, Moses, God parted the sea for Moses. And then somebody could respond, like, well, I wasn't there. I didn't see it. Therefore, I don't have to believe in Musa, because they didn't see it. And actually, yeah, they didn't see the miracle. So what is the miracle of the seerah? The miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's why you don't have to go around telling people. You don't have to go around telling people, well, you just got to believe. Well, you just got to believe. No, Islam is always, it's rational, it's intelligence. First word revealed in the Quran is, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhin afala taqilun. Will you not use your intelligence? So the seerah is based on strategy and rationality. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't lay down this deen with a collection of miracles that everybody's expected to believe in throughout time. Now, if you look at the Isra and Mi'raj, which is actually interesting, the Isra and Mi'raj, when it happened, then the Quraysh in Mecca said, because that was a miracle, the Quraysh in Mecca said, now we know that Muhammad is crazy. The Quraysh in Mecca, they went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and they said, your companion says that he went to Jerusalem in one night and came back. So that was a miracle. But if you kind of like take a step back and understand the seerah, you will see that that was their first opportunity to challenge the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on basis of miracle, because everything before that was not miracle based and expected to believe in something just because of the miracle. So the seerah is based in strategy. And if somebody comes after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, oh, well, that was the time of the Prophet and they just had miracles coming down and that's why things worked out for them, the answer is no, that's not the case. It's not that they had miracles coming down. We actually have a strategy for every facet of our life in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that you have in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the best example, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. You have the best example. And actually you'd say you have the best strategy on every facet of your life. How to be a father, how to be a leader, how to be how to lead a flock. Everything is there in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is actually a miracle that all this strategy is built into the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let's look at slaves. Slaves in Mecca were tortured for their belief. We spoke in a few days ago about Bilal radiallahu anhu. You had the family of Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhum, the whole family, and other slaves in Mecca. What was the strategy? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so you actually see that there was a multi-layered approach to saving these slaves from the oppression that they were under. Number one was patience. So you'll see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came across some of the slaves, such as the family of Yasir, And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them in those early days of, you know, of the revelation, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Sabran al Yasir, fa inna maw'idukum al Jannah." Have patience, O family of Yasir, for you have an appointment in paradise. So that, and they were killed shaheed in their torture. You have another strategy, which was collecting funds to free the slaves. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, for example, he would go and find the slaves that were actually the weakest, the ones who couldn't handle the torture, that they may die from the torture. And he and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't fight with those people, but he actually used his wealth to purchase these slaves and then free them for the sake of Allah. And one of those that he bought and freed was Bilal radiallahu anhu. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the reward? And so, as Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, he said, "Sayyiduna Abu Bakr," which is like leader, master. We spoke about that before. "Sayyiduna a'taqa Sayyidana," that the our master who freed our master, Bilal, Bilal radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Bilal. So using the wealth and compiling it. Interestingly, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's father wasn't Muslim at that time. And he was angry at his son, Abu Bakr, for buying slaves who were weak. And he said to him, "Look, if you're going to buy slaves and you're going to and you're going to free them, then buy the strongest slaves so that they can have your back in life, you know, afterwards." And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's argument back with his father was, "Innama uridu ma urid," that I intend what I intend. Like whatever I want, whatever my intention is, that's my intention. That's basically what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this Quran. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these verses about the intention of Abu Bakr, that he sought no one except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for freeing these slaves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى, and indeed I am going to please him. And the action that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did was using his wealth to buy the weakest slave, the Muslim slave, the weakest slaves, and free them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you have other slaves, the weak and oppressed, being told to run away from Mecca. And this is like you see in the Hijrah. Now, the slaves weren't running away like Abd Abiq, like they weren't just running away. But so if there were weak people and they were being tortured, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them permission to leave Mecca and go to Abyssinia. And they went to Habesha. And you know the stories of the Muslims when they went to Abyssinia. So that was another strategy to deal with the oppression, was to leave that area and establish a base of power, a place where they were safe, and a base of power somewhere else. If you actually look at the seerah, people would comment on this, that it wasn't actually running away, that they were going to Abyssinia. And if Quraysh had, if the Prophet ﷺ wasn't successful in Mecca, that was actually a backup plan, plan B. So it may have been that Abyssinia could have become Ethiopia, could have become the Medina that, you know, that accepted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if things didn't work out in Arabia, they had a plan B in going to Abyssinia, as you see people in the commenting, and they had that protection and safety in Abyssinia. The next thing you see to fight oppression, the strategy, I want you to understand this, that it wasn't just a miracle that all of these strategies are put in place. Another one is trying to establish a base of power to challenge the power of the people in Mecca. So you'll see the Prophet ﷺ went to a Ta'if. And in Hajj time, he used to go to different tribes and ask them, who will support me, who will protect me until I fulfill this message of Islam. So he went to a Ta'if. And as you know, in the story of a Ta'if, when they the aristocrats repulsed or pushed the Prophet ﷺ away and told everybody just stone him out of the city. And in Medina, during Hajj time, the Prophet ﷺ would ask people to establish a base of power with them. And his uncle used to go around behind him and tell him, don't believe him, he's a liar, he's crazy, like that in Hajj time. Until finally, the the Aus and Khazraj, the people of Medina, they heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking about this. They knew from the Jews that were in Medina that there was a prophet coming at the end of time. They recognized the signs and they said, "We will beat the Jews to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam," and they accepted Islam. Another thing that you find in the strategy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to fight oppression is he had meetings with the aristocrats and the policymakers. About also in a previous session, we were talking about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told not to expel the weak Muslims. Many of them were black, many of them were slaves, not to expel them from his gatherings because the aristocrats were talking about saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "We won't sit with you unless you get rid of these people. When you get rid of them, then we'll sit with them," and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from pushing them away. We spoke about that in our the other day. So, but that these meetings did happen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give dawah, give to the aristocrats, that if they would be guided at the highest level, they're the policymakers, then the people underneath that would be guided and the oppression would come to an end. Inshallah ta'ala, is a final kind of like a cherry on top, so to understand this. When we hear about the Muslims fighting the Persians, the Muslims fight Battle of Al-Qadisiyah, you had the Battle of Yarmouk when they were the Byzantines or however you pronounce it. All those battles, and they were said like the Persians were 200,000 and this one is 200,000, this one's 300,000, the Muslims are like 30,000. So they're like 10 to 1 and they still won those battles. They didn't win it because of a miracle. Of course, it's the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the Muslims did not come into those battles with no strategy, no preparation, and no training, and nothing like that. And they just say, you know, raise their hands and say, "Oh Allah, you know, give us a miracle." So the Muslims always had this strategy, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we make that part of our lives as well. That when we're fighting oppression, when we're doing all of these things, that we build strategy into the actions that we take a moment, take a step back and say, what is my strategy? What is my plan? And how are we going to move forward with this? Jazakumullah khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant victory to the oppressed. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.